Thank you, sir. Amen. Let me switch to this other portal here in May. Amen. Praise the Lord.
There's something I would like for you to know about the devil. If you set a price on your salvation, he will pay it.
Yes, he will.
If there's something that you'll sell out to, he'll make sure it gets in your path. If there's something that you love more than God, he'll make sure that you encounter that. Amen. He'll pay your price. But I'll promise you one thing, you won't be satisfied with the exchange. You will be miserable. Amen. Because when you trade what God is for the mere trinkets that the world can offer, you certainly get the worst of the trade. It is totally unfulfilling. Amen. Concerning our seminar this starting Sunday morning, every service will start 15 minutes early. Everybody say 45. It'll be the week of 45s. It'll be 9:45, 5:45, 6:45. Now, Brother Martin said you start in the prayer room earlier than that, but the service will begin 15 minutes early. We will do a very short, brief worship service, and you'll want to be here so you can give your offering and get your heart prepared, because we will start. He will be on the floor at 7 o'clock on weeknights, and 10 o'clock Sunday morning, and 6 o'clock Sunday night, and he will teach for 2 solid hours. So you will leave with your cup full and overflowing. Amen. But you will. I'm believing that this is going to be a seminar that you'll never forget. You will get so much good information, so much knowledge that will be useful. So we are looking forward to that. Help us get the word out. Tell all of your friends, your enemies, your in-laws, your outlaws, everybody. Just let everybody know. Amen. That this is something that I believe everybody has an interest. How many of you have questions about creation? Amen. Just Sister Margaret. I'm glad the rest of you already know everything. That's good. Amen. We all do. Everybody has questions about origins. Everybody has questions about fossils, dinosaurs, flood. Amen. A lot of stuff I would like to know. But this is a man that has dedicated his life. Usually teaches 450 seminars a year, and doing it 4 years. Teaches on radio programs and schools, churches all across the country. So he's very qualified. You will enjoy what he has to say. Amen. But meanwhile, back to the word of the Lord. I'm reading this morning from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 9. While you're turning there, let me say welcome to all of our guests. We're so glad you're here. And it's good to have Brother and Sister Guidry here. Even Philip would say amen. They do have books for sale if you'd like to buy. I love missionary stories. Missionaries lead very interesting lives. Brother Guidry wrote a book about his missionary experience. And you'll want to read that. And then Sister Vonda wrote a book. Well, she actually just kind of quoted the dog. Somehow she was able to get in El Cid's mind and tell you what he thinks. So both of them are excellent, very enjoyable, and so it will also help support their ministry. So you will enjoy their stories, and I admire anybody that writes. I have good intentions, but I just hadn't got there yet. And I have a book on the inside. That count? Amen. The Bible said we are an epistle, known and read of all men. So people do read your life. But it would be good to get something on paper at some point in time. Deuteronomy chapter number 32, verse number 9 said, "For the Lord's portion is His people." Isn't that awesome? The Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. He found him in a desert land, in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of His eye. And then in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 22 to verse 26, the Scripture said, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good to them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Did you notice that in both of these readings there was a common word and a common thought? And that word is what I would like to preach about this morning. And the word we're looking for here is the portion. The Scripture said the Lord's portion is His people. And then in Lamentation, the writer said, "The Lord is my portion." Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. A portion is a part of a whole. It is a division. It is also an inheritance. So we could say that we are the Lord's inheritance. And we could say that the Lord is our inheritance. An inheritance, as we understand, is something that is passed on from another that earned it to those that really just don't deserve it. But it is given freely because of a very wonderful relationship. Amen. And so the Bible says that the Lord is the portion of His people. Amen. God, for some reason, now isn't this amazing that God actually wants us? Hallelujah. Amen. You know, God made certain things so beautiful so they can survive. We have a dog like that. If she wasn't pretty, she wouldn't be alive. She's so rotten that she couldn't survive outside of that something that gets in your heart and says, "Don't kill her." Amen. And God does that with children. Don't get mad at me. But when children are born, they're wrinkled like prunes. They're all misformed and squeezed and squished. Amen. And they're little balls of howling fury. And they're an awful lot of trouble. Anybody that's ever been a parent, say amen. Amen. They don't care about you. You think they love you. No, they don't. You're there to serve them. It's not about you. They don't care if you sleep. They don't care if you eat. They don't care anything about your schedule. They don't care about anything but their little stinking selves. And the slightest thing goes wrong and they howl and they scream. And you can't, God didn't make them with a volume control. I've often thought that if you could just turn them down. But you can't. They just get louder. Why in the world do they survive? Why do you put up with something like that? Because God put a love in your heart. And the Bible says, or people say, and this is true, I think it's true saying, that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Amen. What does Brother David used to say? Brother David used to say about the ugly baby. You know, the guy, he always said something nice about everybody. And he said, my, what a baby. What can you say? You know, something like, my, what a baby. And so, but, you know, there really are no ugly babies to parents. They think they're beautiful. Amen. And they just think they're the greatest thing. They're the smartest. They're the most beautiful, most intelligent. And somebody else may think they're just a brat. But why? Why would somebody put up with something like that? Why would you dedicate your time and all the money and everything you do to something like that? Because there's, God puts a love in your heart for that life, that child. And you begin to put yourself into it. And you begin to mold and to make that child. And you begin to civilize that child. Hopefully. And you help it to know when to cry. You do that by giving it something to cry about. And so they learn that this is not always going to get me what I want. This is going to get me something I don't want. And so with a little discipline and loads of patience, you just teach that child and it suddenly, with time and the grace of God and lots of patience at work, it becomes so that it is lovable. And then even other people can start seeing potential in. And they begin to love it too. Man, and it's a process of time because you pour yourself into that. Somehow God looks at you and I. And hear me today. So many times we're like that child that is full of self. The original sin and the seat of all sin is selfishness. Selfishness is simply putting yourself in the place of God. And it's all about me. If you want to be a miserable person today, be a selfish person. Because you can never, ever please yourself. And people cannot please you. Amen. No matter what people do, the more they do, the less you appreciate and the more you think you deserve it. One of the greatest curses of a human life is to think you're entitled to something. You don't deserve a break today. Even a McDonald's says you do. It's about me. I've got to have it. I deserve it. I work for it. Me. And so, Madison Avenue has discovered a great and effective advertising tool. Make it about you. You deserve it. Amen. If you want to be miserable, believe that. Amen. Praise God. But you want to get your life in balance? Amen. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's really about God. And if you put God at the center of your life, and you will make Him your portion, then you will begin to discover the joy of what life really is. Amen. What could a man do to earn God's favor? What price could you pay that would make you deserving of God? What merit could you attain that would put God in your debt, that somehow God would owe you something? God chose us out of His own sovereign will. And God said, that is my portion. Even I am going to put myself into that human vessel. And I am going to take that which is full of selfishness, and I'm going to change it into the image of my righteousness. And God knows that's a lifetime acquisition. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And somebody said, I'm not what I want to be. And I'm not what I'm going to be. But thank God I'm not what I was. Amen. I've come a long ways, though I have a long way yet to go. God chose us of His own sovereign will. God created us. I love this creation story. It sounds so much better than evolution. That nothing came out of chaos, and somehow chaos got together and made something. Amen. And creatures crawled out of slime and grew legs and lost tails and gained fur and whatever happened. I don't know, over billions of years. Amen. That's a beautiful story, isn't it? That I was once a slime ball. I like the creation story when the Bible says that God formed, I might say formed man out of the dust of the earth. And He made a human form. And then God reached down and breathed into that lump of clay. And the chest rose. As breath filled his lungs, his eyes fluttered open. His heart began its rhythmic beat. Strength flowed into his body. Adam sat up and then stood up, and with eyes of wonder began to behold all of God's perfect creation. And God made that man, fashioned and formed him. He wasn't an accident. He was not formed that came out of chaos, but he was, the Bible said, made in the very image of God. And God made man a living soul. And so God created the man, and then man sold God out. Sold out to a lie. But God wasn't ready to let him go. One preached it so wonderfully. He said that Satan, in order to try to destroy God's creation and God's plan, he took the sin that God so hated and put it in the man that God so loved. And God's dilemma was, will I now hate the man that I love because he's filled with the sin that I hated? But God could look beyond the sin and still see the man and still love the creature. Amen. And still want to redeem him. And so God made a plan that he could put righteousness in the man and take the sin out of the man without destroying the man. But I'm going to tell you something. It cost him. He did not do it on the cheap. He did not do it in the bargain basement. But God Himself set the price. And God said, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. God set the price high enough that angels could not pay it. Angels have no blood. Demons have no blood. Men have blood, but men couldn't pay the price because of our own sin. But God, in the fullness of time, who is Spirit, came down to the earth and put Himself into a human flesh that had blood, and God shed the blood that He possessed in the body of Jesus Christ, and the righteous blood of Jesus could remit and wash away all the sins of all men for all time. God paid the price. God paid the price. Amen. He came down and became like us, so that He could make us to become like Him. But it cost Him something. So we're God's by creation, and we're God's by purchase. But let me tell you something else God did. God pursued us. I don't know about you, but he wouldn't give up on Johnny Grissom. I'm so glad he wouldn't. Hallelujah. I remember Brother Hart. I was probably 7 or 8 years old. I was coming home from church, and I was thinking about Noah. And I was thinking about the ark. Just a young boy. And I was thinking about the people of that day. And I thought, those people must have been so foolish. Because here, before their very eyes, Noah's building this ark. And they would not go in. What foolish people they must have been. And just a little boy, God spoke to my heart. And he said, what about you, son? You're not ready. You've heard the gospel. You know what to do. You know Acts 2:38, and you haven't prepared your heart for me. He started pursuing me when I was so young. Amen. I remember as a child all kinds of foolish things, and isn't it amazing that you can be rebellious when you're so young? And I would go outside and I would think about God. And I would, Brother Hart, I'd say, now I thought about you, Lord, so you can't come today because you're coming when I'm not thinking about you. How's that for twisted logic? But he was pursuing me. He wouldn't leave me alone. Amen. And I'm so glad that God pursued me. And then he didn't have to do that. He could have just given up. But he didn't. Pursuing. Even when I was running and I didn't want to give in. I'll do it when I'm old, God. I'm young right now. And I've got things I need to do, and things I want to do, and the person I want to be. But he wouldn't give up. He kept pursuing me. And sometimes at night I'd wake up and thank God for a praying mother. My mom would be praying. She'd be weeping. She'd be travailing and crying and God save my son. God save my family. God save my husband. And she'd pray and she'd just weep and cry. And I'd get a pillow and I'd put it over my head. And you can't keep prayer out of your ears or out of your heart with a pillow. Just it'll pierce right through it. So mama, pray on. Pray loud. Cry when you pray. Weep when you pray. Travail when you pray. You got lost children. You let them hear that. It'll make them so miserable. Now let me just say this. I've heard people say it makes people mean. You couldn't be mean in my house. My mom and dad had a cure for that. And yeah, I might get it out of sorts, but they'd put me right back in line. Amen. Just let me say, you got to start that early. You wait till they're 12, 14, the battle's over, and you lost. Just do the best you can to get through it. But now she would pray, and God was pursuing me. I would do the things that I knew were wrong to do, but I didn't enjoy them. Because I knew I wasn't supposed to do that. I would sneak off with the other boys, and I'd smoke my cigarette when they smoked their cigarette, and I'd think, I'm going to get cancer and die. God's going to kill me. Please, Lord, don't kill me right now. I was so miserable. I was a miserable sinner. Because God was pursuing me. He wouldn't leave me alone. I was with my cousin one day, and we were into something. I'm not going to say what, but we were into something. And I jumped up in the yard right quick, and a big old dog bit me right on the back of the leg. I mean, bit a chunk out of me. First thing I thought, I'm going to get rabies and die and I'll be lost. Because God was pursuing me. Hey man, if I snuck off and went to the movies, I'm sitting there in the dark. Nobody knows I'm there but God. I'm praying, God, don't let this place burn down while I'm in here. Because God was pursuing me. He wouldn't leave me alone. Hey man. I'm so glad he wouldn't be. Yeah. Isn't he wonderful? Because God said, Johnny Grissom, you're my portion, son. You're my portion. I don't know why I'm His portion, but I am. I don't know why He chose me, but He did. Amen. It's the greatest privilege of my life that God chose me. And God wants you. Amen. And you can't know it. He'll pursue you. He'll make you miserable. Amen. And He does it in, and He doesn't, He's not mean about it. He's so nice about it. He wasn't force Himself. He won't make you do anything. But He just keeps on loving you and lavishing grace and mercy upon you. And you feel so bad because He's so good. You see the contrast. He's my portion. The Lord is my portion. He pursues us. The Bible says that we were created. Everybody say created. For His pleasure. God made us to be pleasure for Himself. Now I can understand that. I do understand that. Because I'm a father. Now I get all kinds of phone calls, and some phone calls I really, really enjoy. But there's one certain ring on my phone that when I hear that ring, and I know who it is, and it really makes me feel real special because it's my daughter. And when I hear that particular ring, I gave a special ring for her and for my wife. All the rest of you is all the same. But there's two very special people in my life. And when I hear those rings, amen, it makes me get excited because I'm sometimes a little concerned. Amen, in case there's something wrong. But there's a special feeling attached to that. Why? Because of my relationship with them. Isn't it amazing that somebody can bring you pleasure just by being there? I mean, they can just walk through the door of the house and you just feel good. Big old smile comes on your face and you run over and get a hug. Just makes you feel good because of your relationship. They love you and you love them, and it brings you more pleasure than anything. A new car can't do that. A new house can't do that. New shoes can't do that. Nothing can bring that pleasure to you that a relationship can bring. And so the Bible said God created us for His pleasure. I said it this morning in the Sunday school class, but those of you that were not here, listen again. You know, God sees everything that's going on in this world. He's in every place. And He sees literally everything. God sees the violence and the theft and the cheating. And He hears the lying. And He hears the cursing. And He sees the use and the abuse of His people. And God despises all of that. But in the middle of all of that, in the middle of the cursings and the ranting and the raving, in the middle of it all, God hears somebody praising and praying and singing, and God finds pleasure in all of that. And He turns to the angelic host and He says, "You hear that? That's one of mine down there." Hallelujah. We bring pleasure to God. I know that's astounding. It's mind-boggling that how in the world can I, a lump of clay, bring glory and pleasure to God Himself? I do it through my relationship. Because I love Him and He loves me, and I try my best to do those things that please Him because I love Him. You've got to use God for more than just some fire insurance. Some people just want to... I heard a guy say it one time. He said, I go to church enough just to stay right on the outside of the pit so I don't fall in. He don't have the right idea. You want to enjoy life and you want to enjoy God, you got to get in from the head to the toe. Amen. You've got to get in this with everything you've got. Amen. If you're just trying to play around on the edges, I watch people sometimes, you know, and they go and they're going to get in the water and they stick their toe in and woo! And they go and they stick a little bit more, a couple of toes. Woo! They're not enjoying themselves. They're torturing themselves. Some people try to serve God like that. They come and put a couple of toes in, get a little tingle. Amen. But nothing changes. I like those folks that just run and just dive and commit themselves wholly. Amen. Praise God. I don't know how deep it is or how shallow, but I'm committed now. And they're toe business to it. When I hit, man, it's going to be all I got. Amen. And you serve God like that, God treats you that way. You give God all of you, He gives you all of Him. That's the thing about a portion. A portion is a part of the whole, and the whole is incomplete without the part. And because God chose you, there are some things that are incomplete without you. Because He chose you. And you certainly are incomplete without Him. The book of Colossians says, "In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him." You're not complete without Jesus. There's something missing. Anybody know what I'm talking about today? Amen. Before I found Jesus, I promise you, there was a big old hole in my heart. There was something that nothing else could fill. But when He came in and filled that place, it literally made me complete from that moment on. And I know what I'm talking about. This is not somebody else's story. This is what I experienced for myself. Amen. Can I get a witness here today? Can't happen to anybody else here. Hallelujah. Anybody else complete when the Lord came into your life? Did He fill a hole and a void that nothing else could fill? Amen. I'm just telling you, we got the testimony today of a lot of folks here that Jesus brings completion to life and He makes us satisfied and complete. Now, the Lord is my portion. Notice it says the Lord. That word Lord, when it's capitalized in your Bible like that, the word is Jehovah. And Jehovah means the self-existent one. The one that doesn't need anything or anybody. Now, you can't say that. You can't make it by yourself. Amen. That's right. You live, you're breathing God's air. And you're taking up God's space. Praise God. And your heart, He put a little spark in your heart. And that's what makes it beat. And when that little spark goes out, you die. You can't exist without Him. But He can exist without you. He was before all things. And He made all things. And all things consist by Him. God made it all. And yet the Bible said He's my portion. The all-sufficient one is my portion. The self-existent one is my portion. Now here's the thing about Jesus. When you get Jesus, you don't get just pick and choose what you want. You say, well, I want God's love, but I want God's righteousness. Uh-uh. When you get Him, you get the whole package. Hallelujah. When you get Him, you get all that He is. And the thing is, when He gets you, He gets all that you are. The good and the bad. But He was willing to take us, including our sin, our shortcomings, our faults, our failures. He took it all. Because that's who we are. And yet He was willing to know and believe that He could change us and transform us into His righteous image. And that's exactly what He's doing today. Amen. Praise God. So the Lord, He's my portion. Hallelujah. All that He is in me. Amen. There was a little boy one time. He had a couple of dogs. And somebody asked him, they said, which dog is the toughest? When they fight, who wins? Well, the boy said, that's simple. He said, it's the one that I feed the most. Amen. You want to know who wins in your life? The one you feed the most. If you feed your carnal nature, then you're going to be carnal. But if you feed your spiritual nature, you're going to be spiritual. If you feed your godly nature, you're going to be godly. If you feed your ungodly nature, you're going to be ungodly. It just simply matters who you feed the most. Praise God. And you prove that with your life. Amen. You prove that with your time. People that are too busy to go to church tells me that they're feeding the wrong one. People that are not willing to include God in their finances tell me that they're making a wrong decision. People that don't have time to do things for God and for the church, you're too busy. You're right. You're too busy. Amen. You're feeding the wrong one. Amen. Praise God. Brother Grissom, that sure is good, man. Thank you for telling me that. I appreciate that, brother. Amen. I knew that's what you were wanting to say, so I just said it for you. And the Lord is my portion. And the Bible said the Lord's portion is His people. Let me finish here today. In the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 24, the Bible said, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Now listen, everybody here, you're a part of the body of Christ. The Bible said we're all part of a body, just like this right here. Now there are parts of my body, you can believe this, and you may even agree with me by looking at the exterior, but there are parts of my body that are not very pretty. There are parts of me that are ugly. And God was kind enough to cover the really ugly stuff with skin. If you think this is unattractive, you ought to see what's on the inside. But you know what? No matter how pretty you are, you can't get along with that ugly stuff that's on the inside. If something goes wrong with one of those little parts in there that you don't think much about, it will evermore get your attention. One time I didn't know much about an appendix, and I still don't, but I know what? I know when that little buddy gets stopped up, it's ugly, but it will get your attention. It'll double you over. It'll cause you such pain. Whether you want to go to the doctor or not, you will. Amen. You'll see, whatever you do, get rid of that buddy, because this is causing me some serious pain here. Amen. God takes those ugly little things that nobody pays attention to and don't seem to be very important to anybody, but He said, that's even got more honor. Could I say something to some of us today that may not feel like we're the greatest thing in the church, that you are important to the body of Christ? You may see others and they stand out more and seems like they have certain skills that you admire and you wonder, well, God, what about me? Every part of the body of Christ is vital. Vital. There's not one part of the body of Christ that is not important. Every one of us matter. Every one of us are important. Amen. You're all a part of the whole. And without you, it's incomplete. You're a portion. And everybody matters in the church. Then Paul, in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he says this. He said, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. All these pieces are going to come together. Have you ever worked with a puzzle? You know why they call them puzzles? You ever work with a puzzle and it's all just a bunch of pieces. But you get to looking and this one has something in common with this one. And so you try it and sure enough it fits. And then you look at the scope and you see another piece. Well, man, that looks like it might go over here. And it fits. And you keep putting the pieces and the parts and the portions together. And when you get through, it makes a whole. I heard about a guy that he gave his child a puzzle of the world. And he said, I want you to put this map of this puzzle of the world together. And he left him alone. And he came back after a little while and the child had already put the puzzle together. And he said, wow, how did you do that so quickly? The little boy said, on the back of the puzzle, he said, there's a picture of a man. And he said, and when I got the man together, the world came together. That man was Jesus Christ. And when you get Jesus together in your life, the world comes together. Hallelujah. All the pieces come together. And things are whole. Let's stand together today. Thank you so much for your time.